If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, baby, if I could turn back time, if I could find a way, if I could turn back time, if I could turn back time.
The International Geophysical Year was an international scientific project that lasted from 1957 July the 1st to 1958 December the 31st. 67 countries participated. Both the United States and the Soviet Union announced their intention to launch satellites. The Soviet effort was to be a 1.3-ton satellite with 12 scientific instruments to measure the composition of the upper atmosphere, the concentration of charged particles, cosmic ray flux, magnetic and electrostatic fields, and meteoritic particles. Unfortunately, development was delayed. Fearing that the United States would beat him, Sergei Korolev decided to launch a simple satellite. So Sputnik 1, a sphere with only a radio transmitter, was launched on 1957 October the 4th. That caused a sensation in the West and made Premier Nikita Khrushchev to sit up and take notice. He wanted another satellite. It just so happens that Korolev had a second simple satellite ready to go. But Khrushchev asked whether a dog could be included. In the Soviet Union, if the leader made a casual inquiry, that was interpreted as an explicit order. So, with only 3 weeks to prepare, Korolev and his team had to scramble to assemble a new, more ambitious satellite, since the IGY scientific satellite was still not ready. What became known as Sputnik 2 consisted of three parts. At the base was a payload container requisitioned from a dog carrying suborbital flights. Above it was the spherical simple Sputnik 1 duplicate, and atop that was a cylindrical container with two spectrophotometers, one for measuring solar ultraviolet rays and one for measuring X-rays. Total mass was around 500 kilograms, including the 6-kilogram dog, which was called Laika. Well, launch occurred on 1957 November the 3rd. The payload fairing separated as planned, but Sputnik 2 failed to separate from the Block A rocket stage. This, along with the loss of some thermal insulation, caused temperatures in the pressurized dog cabin to rise. Telemetry of the dog's pulse rate was received, and there were indications that Laika was eating her food. Well, someone in America, shortwave recorder, Professor T.A. Benham from Haverford College in Pennsylvania, made this recording.
Next is the heartbeat of Laika, the dog, in Sputnik number 2, recorded on November 6th, 1957. Fading was quite severe that night on account of Aurora Borealis display, so we have taken 10 good clear heartbeats, repeated it several times, and spliced them together. The splicing is not perfect, so that the break in rhythm is obvious.
That's not the sound of Laika barking, that's the sound of her heartbeat, well, telemetry of it. However, after 5 hours, no further sign of life were received from Sputnik 2. It had been the intention to keep Laika alive for up to a week, then euthanize her with poisoned food. However, she died by the fourth circuit of flight from overheating. Sputnik 2 re-entered the atmosphere and burnt up on 1958, April the 14th. Well, the Soviets eventually launched their IGY scientific satellite as Sputnik 3 on 1957, May the 15th. Now, why, you may well be asking, am I telling you the story of Laika from 68 years ago? Well, to explain, I need to digress. The first Eurovision Song Contest was held more than a year before Sputniks 1 and 2. 68 contests and 1,717 songs later, the contest is again being held this week. Although singers represent a particular country, they don't have to come from that country. For example, in 1972, Vicky Leandros from Greece won the contest for Luxembourg with Après Toi, a French language song written by a Frenchman, a German, and a Greek. Such is Eurovision.
Le sourire d'une autre, je voudrais, mais ne peux t'en vouloir. Désormais, tu vas m'oublier. Ce n'est pas de ta faute, et pourtant, tu dois savoir.
Well, this year, Norwegian singer-songwriter Emmy Christensen will be singing for Ireland. Go figure. Four of the five songwriters are Norwegian and one is Irish. Now, what's more astonishing, Emmy's song is about Laika. Here's an interview conducted by the Eurovision people.
Emmy, you are representing Ireland with Laika Party. We're going to find out all about you, all about how your preparations are going. You are listening to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. Hello, Emmy. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm so, so good. Are you, well, how excited are you on a scale of 1 to outer space?
Oh, beyond outer space. I'm very, very excited.
Does it seem very weird and very surreal that you're going to be singing on the Eurovision stage?
For sure. Like, I can't believe it. It's just amazing. I'm such a big Eurovision fan, you know. So to be in the show is just surreal, as you said. Oh.
And you're representing Ireland. You are Norwegian. Do you feel like Ireland has embraced you as a long-lost family member?
I do feel that, and I'm so grateful for it. They are so nice and supportive, and I'm so, so, so glad that they have my back.
So for anyone that doesn't know, how did you end up representing Ireland? Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, for sure. So there was this songwriting camp in Norway, and an Irish songwriter flew in from Ireland to Norway to attend this camp. And one day we were in a group together, and the song was made. And so since the song is partly Irish, it was very natural for us to send it there. Like we got to know that we were in just before Christmas. Oh, we were so surprised and shocked, and we had so many ideas. And as you know, my brother is on stage with me. He's the keyboard player, and he is so creative. So he too had so many great ideas, and we got the choreographers and dancers, pieced it all together.
So let's talk about Laika, because Laika is maybe the most iconic dog in the world and also has this really tragic story. So how did you know about this historic animal?
Oh, yeah, you know, we had, like, learned about her in school and stuff, but the song, it was like I was doing this quiz with my family that we do every week since COVID, and there was a question about Laika. When I heard that question, I got sad, you know, because I got reminded of her story, and when I'm sad, I do want to write about it. That's kind of my language, you know, to express my feelings. And so I just wanted to create a song or scenario where she doesn't die, but where she lives on and is having her own party in the sky instead.
So basically you wanted to turn something sad into something that has some joy.
Yeah.
And
pretend that's the truth instead. Well, thank you. Yeah, we're writing music since I was 7, and music has always been there because of my family, you know, they are musicians. So,
what about a giant inflatable Laika on stage?
Maybe, I'll write it down.
Can you imagine someone brings it on like this, no. Like just giant floating over, you know, as a tribute, as an honour?
That would be kind of cool. Oh, little Laika.
Oh, she has to be front and center, doesn't she? You know.
Yeah, it's, for sure.
It's like your ultimate tribute to her.
Yeah. Oh, I hope she would have liked it.
Of course she would have. She's already loving the party.
Oh.
We should ask you very quickly. Just tell us about the Irish songwriter. What's their name?
Yeah, she's called Larissa Torme. So she's actually, I think, like a country singer-songwriter. She is a singer-songwriter in Ireland already. I think it's country music. And she's so amazing. She's lovely. And yeah, we're so glad to have her on board. And of course, she's the link to Ireland. So we're so happy that we got in that group with her on the songwriting camp so that we sent it to Ireland.
Emmy, you are representing Ireland with Laika Party. We will see you for the pre-parties. We'll see you in bars or just have an amazing time these next few months.
Thank you so, so, so much. And thank you for having me.
And here now is Emmy with her song Laika Party.
Like a party in the sky.
Laika Party by Emmy. And she is going to be performing as the third act in the second semi-final. And it'll be on Friday, this coming Friday, at 5 a.m. And you can catch it live on SBS TV. If you don't fancy getting up at 5 a.m., then it'll be repeated on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And by the way, Australia's Gojo with the song Milkshake Man will be the first performance in that second semi-final. So watch it if you will. This is the Space Show. Now, some more things about Laika. In 2017, Stuart Atkinson wrote about Laika's eyes. Laika's Eyes by Stuart Atkinson. Despite the snow and freezing cold, I was happy on Moscow streets before they abducted me and sentenced me to a historic death. This stray had friends, family. I ran happily down the alleyways chasing mangy cats. I was never fat, but my kind are used to that. I didn't ask for a better life. Didn't ask to be blinded by bright laboratory lights, shaved and mutilated in the name of science. To most of the zombies in their long white coats, I was a mere payload, weight in a rocket's nose that just happened to have a heartbeat, clawed feet and fur. Some were kind. One took me to his home to play with his children, and for a while I was a pup again, leaping around, yapping, happy. But when he looked at me, there was sadness in his eyes, and guilt. He knew I would soon be killed, and still did not set me free. Before they sealed me in my tomb, would you believe they kissed my nose and patted my head, knowing I would soon be dead, leaving me alone inside my cremation urn, wrapped in chains, unable even to turn, yearning to be alone on Moscow streets again, watching snowflakes settle on my nose, feeling the icy stones sharp beneath my toes. An explosion far, far below that shook me like a furious child. Then I was floating, spinning, only my clanking chains holding me down, yanking me around like a fairground ride. But hot, so hot my fur was soon matted with sweat. That stung my eyes as I cried, panting, each frantic gasp torture until, ears roaring, heart pounding, I breathed no more. I wonder how many swooning lovers made wishes as they saw my corpse soar overhead, an obscure falling star. I visited my murderers at night, you know. While they slept, my ghost snatched at their bedroom doors with their same bloodied claws I used to kick at my capsule's walls as my life burned away like a fuse. I howled at them in their dreams until they woke, terrified to find me standing on their chests, teeth bared, snarling, their quiet and charming little lemon fangs snapping inches from their throats.
My name is Frank Paino, and I'm going to be reading my poem, Laika. Laika was the first dog to be launched into low Earth orbit, and this occurred on the 3rd of November 1957 on the Russian spacecraft Sputnik 2. One of the scientists who worked to acclimate Laika was Dr. Yazdovsky, and this poem has an epigraph from one of his journals where he wrote, "Laika was quiet and charming. I wanted to do something nice for her. She had so little time left to live." Laika. Because she'd gone unbroken by 3 years on Moscow's barren streets, she'd proved her will to survive simply by surviving, and so was chosen for a kind of brute salvation. a halfway gift whose bad conclusion was already written in a lack of funds and time and the keen knowledge there'd be no way to bring her back. And so began fierce weeks of acclimation, each cage smaller than the last, to accustom her to stricture tight as an overnight case, the relentless gyre of the centrifuge to mimic the weight of ascent, and crude machines to simulate the cacophonous dirge of ignition, shrieking metal, everything it would take to lift a 13-pound mongrel into history. He called her Little Curly, Little Bug, as if naming the doomed, taking her home one night to play with his two bright-eyed daughters could make the great burden of her approaching death a lighter thing to bend beneath when it came time to tighten the harness just once again and no more. To hold her in waiting while the riddle of malfunction was worked through its 3-day resolution, and she watched from within that aluminum tomb where she could stand or lie but never turn, and late October's chill settled its silver pall around her. 3 days and finally liftoff. Then 3 anxious hours back on Earth before they saw her heart's green tracery slow again to nearly calm, while the unshed core quietly kindled its indigo fire inside the polished dome. Listen, there is no other way to tell a thing that has no mercy in it. She burned up from the inside, fevered, frantic, blood-boiled, 600 miles between herself and solid ground. And there's no faith to be placed in the weary myth of sacrifice, no way to make right the trust that was betrayed, the muzzle and mad tongue of it. How she was thrust into weightlessness, into the useless memory of the man who spoke softly, who turned at last from the wild extravagance of the round and riveted window about which he'd been so adamant, as if she might somehow savor the breathless view, the spinning blue that beckoned like a ball tossed into a street she could only return to in flames.
That was Laika, written and read by Frank Paino. Now back to Stuart Atkinson, who comes from the United Kingdom. He's written about Laika's Ghost. Again, he wrote this in 2015.
Laika's Ghost by Stuart Atkinson, posted on 2015, July 27th. Laika's Ghost is my companion on lonely stargazing nights. In winter, shivering beneath Betelgeuse's blood-red eye, I reach down and quietly scratch her head, smiling as she nuzzles my hand, content, making no demands, her warm breath thawing my frozen fingers while I fumble with eyepieces in the dark, firefly sparks of year's-end stars shining around us. In summer, standing beneath the Milky Way's arch, struck dumb by the beauty of its mottled clouds, I feel her running around my legs, weaving in and out again, a puppy at play until, wearily, she settles at my feet, leaning against me, fighting to stay awake, failing, finally falling asleep on the dew-damp grass. Feet and tail are soon artwitch, whimpering, lost in dreams of fields never ran across, of icy rivers never splashed through, balls laughing children never threw for her, cartwheeling sticks never chased and returned. I watch her eyelids dance as memories return. Thunder rolling up from far below, tossed and thrown from side to side, trapped within a tiny metal tomb with steel walls inches from her face. Suddenly, peace, quiet, she is in space. Panting in the darkness, fascinated to see dust and hairs drifting in slow motion through the already stale air, then the world spinning, round and around, needles of heat pricking from all sides, lungs filling with lava as the air grows furnace hot, the last hours of her stolen life slipping away, thankfully asleep long before she has to see her sweat-matted fur catching fire before her eyes. She wakes with a cry and I stroke her shaking head until the nightmares fade and she knows peace again. Looking down, I see her sitting beside me now. Quiet, still, savoring the chill of this Purside night, bright eyes staring at the murdering sky, remembering how she died a shooting star.
And as we heard, she didn't die as a shooting star, but her remains were certainly cremated. That was Stuart Atkinson.